Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 84, I think. 84, of the Padawan Unlimited podcast, the Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast and YouTube channel. Today, I am joined by two gentlemen who have risen through the ashes of the Empire and are now in a lawless time. Rob and Corey, how are you guys doing?
Hello there.
Doing well. Exciting times. We are in the spoiler season, so excited to check out some of those cards soon.
Yeah.
I do love the call out to the next set, though. I am excited for Ashes of the Empire. I think there's some cool stuff there. But we have some exciting stuff for Lawless Time right now.
Yeah. Not that, the way you phrase it makes it seem like we have a spoiler. We unfortunately do not. Although we did get an early spoiler that I think was supposed to be set for someone else. We put it on the Discord. It was the legendary Luke. We got it a day in advance, actually.
Yeah, it showed up today as well.
So, we got it. I am a little disappointed we didn't get one this set. Especially with like other podcasts, like Underwhelming. Like, don't get me wrong, I love other podcasts. Like Tyler Mersing, good friend. He's on Underwhelming Barrage, right? They got one. A spoiler that was revealed today. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. I'm just sad we didn't get one. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. I'm a little sad too, especially since the first spoiler video we got, that YouTube channel is a heavy focus on other card games. So it's like, you know, we do a lot of work here for Star Wars exclusively. It would be nice to just, you know, be able to share that with the rest of you guys out there because of how much we care about this game, you know. But
FFG, if you're listening.
No. We're not smack talking. We're just sad. it'll happen eventually. We just got to trust in the process, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. Doing our thing still. We're still enjoying it. Still love seeing these spoilers. So wish we could have shared it with you guys first. That would have been fun.
I know. But we did get one.
Let's go, Gil. You did it.
Unnecessarily. Let's see. So, a couple logistics before we get into the topics for today. I sent out the winner for the convention pack, who was Joe Corona. Sent it out today, actually. So good luck. Hopefully it gets mimicked to you. I have the tracking number. Forgot to email it. I will do that. And then also our Patreon. So we started a competitive pod, a competitive series on the Patreon, something that I've been mulling over for the past, I don't know, 6 to 8 months, roughly. Finally executed it for this year. It will be for the first episode is for everyone that's just on the Patreon, it'll be for paid going forward, like exclusively for our Patreon supporters. And we had two winners also for some regional game mats. The first one was the Sheen Flurry or the Darth Tyrannus, and then the second one was the Sheen Flurry regional qualifier game mat. So congratulations to Airwalker and Eric Cole for winning those as well. Those have been shipped out today. All right. So let's go on to the main topic, or one of our topics, which is collection. Corey, what do you got for us?
Yeah, well, we just talked about it. We have spoilers, and we got a whole bunch of them. We are in that spoiler season. So some brand new legendaries that I would love to talk about, because we did talk about the Maul legendary last week. Would love to, and you alluded to it already. We got to spoil a little bit of a Luke Skywalker, which they showed off on the stream today as the official reveal of this spoiler. But Luke Skywalker is a legendary cunning and aggression heroism card. So three aspects here. He is a 7 cost 9/7. So big stats.
Bonkers.
And then he's got a when played. So you're getting something when you put him down. But there is a caveat to that, because it is your opponent chooses one, which are the choices.
You can either profit by this or be destroyed.
So the choices your opponent gets to take are, they can create a credit token and ready your Luke Skywalker, or you may deal 5 damage to a unit.
Which, quick shout out. The image that we had sent out yesterday in the Discord was of Luke. It was the prestige foil version, which was the prestige version.
Yeah,
and someone forgot who it was on our Discord. They're like, "I love this goth Luke look." So shout out to, I forgot who that person is, unfortunately, but that was witty. I loved it. Goth Luke is definitely going to be in the vernacular going forward.
I did actually really like the way that the Prestige looks compared to the like, and not to say that the art on the regular version is bad. It's gorgeous in the regular version too. But there's something cool about the way that it pops. And you think about it in terms of that scene in Return of the Jedi, right? Like it's kind of Jabba's palace is kind of dark, and he's kind of standing in, you know, and like you don't really see a lot of other stuff. So it fits really well with that moment in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. And I like the subtitle for him, Luke Skywalker, Prophet or Be Destroyed, which fits the choices your opponent gets to make.
Yeah.
They're definitely keeping it thematic. Because like this one is already good. Like you said, Prophet or Destroy, you get a credit or you do something. But like the Rey card, the new Rey card that came out, it's another legendary card.
Gil's all about this one.
Tell us about Rey.
Rey Skywalker.
Oh no.
yeah, Rey subtitle Skywalker.
Is such a nice callback / troll of the designers. It's just Rey Skywalker. Like, it's just funny. Someone mentioned on the Discord that they're going to just cross out Skywalker and say Palpatine on all the cards.
The title of the card is Rey, but then the subtitle of it is Skywalker.
This card is so good to me. It's an 8 cost, command heroism, 9/9, with the traits Force Jedi Resistance, so great Force Guard for those who want to still use Force bases. Opponents can't take control of this unit, so you can't use...
That is so important.
Yeah, can't take control of it.
And
this unit can't be defeated by enemy card abilities.
That is nuts.
Yep. So you can't blast it. You can't do it. You can't get rid of it with single target removal. It's
what you expect of a Skywalker. You know what I mean? Like
Skywalker.
Oh,
broken stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to see like the hyperspace version of this. Mm-hmm. She has the yellow lightsaber on this one.
Yep. So it's very cool. Very end of episode 9.
Yeah.
Rey. Yeah. Rob, we got a couple other legendaries. We got like 3 others.
Tell us about one more.
I was gonna say, I guess I get to talk about like the one villainous one we've got, because like we've had a dearth of like villainous ones, but we did get our new Snoke. This is the Lawbringer, 8 cost vigilance villainy, 7/7 Imperial vehicle capital ship. So this is the capital ship that sits over top of Lothal. It has a when played and on attack that when those occur, you get to choose an aspect, and each enemy unit that has that aspect gets -2/-2. So like you can just pick heroism, right? And then that'll you know, -2/-2 a lot of stuff. But then also if they're all green, if they're all like if you have a mono yellow deck, right, you're playing against Saba yellow, now you just pick cunning, cool. Everything that they play, for the most part, unless they have a single, you know, heroic unit, gets -2/-2. Now, it's a little bit more technical because you have to do it on attack, whereas Snoke is just a persistent effect, but it's a little bit more powerful, and it's in space. So, you know, this is a solid legendary.
I think this is more balanced.
Yes,
Snoke
yes.
is just, like, ridiculous, where this is, like, stats are good, it's space, cost is about the same, but it's a win plate, like you said, not persistent. And it's restricted to an aspect, which for this set might be good or bad, because you don't know what's going to be in someone's deck half the time. And you know what I mean? Like it could be, right? But I love that you're right. This is a really good legendary, I think. It's very solid.
I think some of these other ones are a little bit more kind of, I don't want to say busted, but like they're a little bit more obviously powerful. This one feels like it's still a solid legendary. I think it's going to be an inclusion in a lot of decks, just because the traits are good, right? You got capital ships, so you know anytime you're playing with capital ships, it's fun to do that. The -2/-2 is a good effect. Happens when it played, so it does have an immediate effect. So there's a lot to like about this one. Again, it's not as like overtly powers like Luke dropping on 7 and having some bonkers stat line plus probably dealing 5 damage to something, but you know. It's still got some things there, and I have hope for the Vader that we're probably, hopefully, fingers crossed, going to see that will hopefully be of an equal power level.
I mean, based off of what we've gotten so far, all of these legendaries have felt so much, or just initial impressions has been whoa, what is happening here? These are just far and beyond what we've seen from the last three sets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all seem kind of useful.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's some profession.
Definitely there's a deck that will want most of these. The one that I was like a little down on, I will say, is the counterpart to Ray, which is the Ben Solo legendary. I was like, it's so late. But it does.
It is late.
Yeah,
that's the fact. But the effect when it's an on play on defeat effect is very strong.
It can be. Ben Solo is a cunning. I'm sorry, cunning. He's an aggression heroism card. 9 cost. So it's 9, 8, 8, and he has hidden. The keyword hidden. So they can't be attacked initially. But when played, you may ready another friendly unit. It doesn't say non-leader also on that.
Yep.
It can't be attacked this phase either. So that happens when played and when defeated. So
it's one of those things like you hit with a big thing first, if you have it.
Yep.
Then you drop him.
Yep. And then your opponent has to deal with the ready unit.
But they can't attack it.
They can't attack it.
Yeah, they have to use like a
removal card.
A removal of some sort. And then that means you can't get rid of Ben Solo. Which then he just...
He's sitting there.
Oh, what if it's Ray? And then you can't single target her.
Yeah, well, if it's Ray, it's very synergistic. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you, though. It's a little... Who said it was a little late? It does come out a little... It's like 9.
It comes out late. Yeah, on 9 feels late. I think because of how powerful the effect is, it kind of makes sense. And then, I mean, like, yes, 9 is late, but don't forget, we're going to be getting credits, which are going to help take some of these units that are bigger, have them come out earlier than you might anticipate. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to do that. And I think they've kind of said we're going to get some new persistent ramp as well. So,
which they're talking about, they're really valuing credits.
Yeah. Well, they should.
I think what they're saying, and here's what I mean, because they released a base, right, was a 26, it's called Alliance Outpost, 26 health, blue. Its epic action is to defeat a friendly token. A friendly token.
Yep.
Give an experience or shield token to a unit or create a credit token. So for 4 health, you have the option to defeat a token.
A token.
Mm-hmm. And then you get 1 of 3 things. Which of them, so credit is a, so that just seems like a lot of health for that action.
Yeah. But one of the things that they were talking about on the stream today is they saw a lot of instances where people were like, okay, turn 1, I do something that generates a token. Turn 2, I attack with that. And then I sack that later. I sack that token and then turn it into a credit. Now I drop a 4-drop on turn 2.
All right, but let's not get into too much technical stuff. But there seems like a lot of interesting mechanics that they really have value. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope the credit thing really works out because
I think it will.
It seems exciting. But these
legendary drops, like they're so big now, right? Everything seems like it's coming out so much later. We definitely need that.
Yeah.
To come into play, another way to get that ramp.
We all 3 of us were kind of talking about, Gil, you and I were talking about this last night, I think. I wonder if, Secrets of Power, Krennic was kind of a clunker legendary, right? But now with some of these big bodies coming out, the ability to ramp him out, like, yes, he still really doesn't do anything initially other than he's a 10-10 Sentinel, but like, we're going to need something to kind of do, particularly Ray, right? Like, Ray is going to be a menace because you can't single target remove her. Now you need something that's going to be able to either have to slow her down or, do with that. So, like, things that might get, we often talk about speculation here about things that might get more expensive. I could see Krennic, it's corner case, but if Ray becomes very popular, I could see him starting to jump in value a little bit because, like, right now he's probably like $1 legendary, if I had to guess, if that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Krennic coming out early because of credits feels better.
Yep. Yeah. But I will say I've actually put him in my Palpiolo deck and tested with him and he's felt pretty good. So,
yeah. So we're going to see some things like that are very, very interesting. And honestly, Gil, I can't imagine that credits are not going to be valuable. The analog to this is treasure tokens and Magic. And like, there are entire decks that are dedicated to generating as many of these as you possibly can, because it's that freaking good.
Yeah. And there'll definitely be more cards that generate them for sure.
Yeah, one card that does not generate tokens, credits, is Chewbacca.
Well, he's going to be a value generator, though.
Yeah, oh. that card right now, it's another legendary, probably I think the last big one, is so good to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I was initially down on this, but now having heard this, I think he's very good.
And I think there's a ruling thing because it definitely changes how you expect this card to work.
Yes.
So Chewbacca is a 4-cost villainy, heroism, vigilance, command.
Yeah.
4/4 for four.
Four.
Rebel Wookiee. Overwhelm.
Right? Getting better.
And then, okay, we're getting
then
somewhere.
Then when attack ends, if the defending unit was defeated, give an experience token to this unit and heal 3 damage from it.
So this is, I was initially down on this because I think by the current timing windows, the way this would work is when you take the damage, you would be defeated and then there would not be an opportunity to heal. However,
assuming they do 4 back. Yeah.
Assuming they do 4 back. Correct. However, now, and again, we to be 100% clear, this is speculation at this point because we need to see the comprehensive rule version 7 to confirm this, which isn't out yet. But the way that they described it today, it really does sound like because there is not a qualifier that says this unit must survive this attack. When attack ends means that if you run into something that has 4 health and does 4 damage back, or, you know, whatever, you defeat it and you take 4 damage back or more, frankly, you still will get to heal 3 and give yourself an experience. So now there's a chance that Chewie just runs over something, gets an experience, and then heals 3 more. So he's healing. He's effectively healing 4 because of the increase from the XP. So you could, in theory, take like 5 or 6 damage, heal back up, and then gain an additional HP because of this. He's going to be a menace.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the article that they released does kind of go into that. And I do think they will have qualifiers that say, if this unit survives, I think that they were also saying
which
that,
he does not.
Which exactly,
by the way.
Do we think the legendary so far, the way this deck is this set is shaping up to be, do we think these are going to be money?
So I think the question comes down to usability because, like, one of the things about Chewie is like always. He's a 4/4. But he doesn't immediately do something on the table right now. He's an early drop, so that's good.
At 4 cost, he doesn't have to.
Yeah, he doesn't have to, but if people find a way to manufacture ambush with him or something along those lines where you can suddenly now take advantage of that early, he's going to be money. Again, I think it comes down to playability on some of these. I think all these are playable in some respect, but it's, you know, particularly with like color combinations, right? Like Luke being a aggression cunning, like that's peanut butter and jelly, baby. You know, like aggression cunning love going together in whether it's heroic or villainy. So like, I think you're going to see Luke in a lot of decks because that's just a common color combination.
So I think the big thing here is that we're losing 3 sets of cards, right? So now playability has gone up already. So we're going to have these cards are going to be playable more just because we don't have the option to play these other ones, right? So playability is already going up. So the value of these cards is going up. Now the question is, where are we as a community placing the value? Right. And I think I was a little high with my last week with things, but I do think these cards do hit double digit numbers.
Yeah.
Some of them,
particularly initially, I think you're going to see a spike in some of these more popular ones. I mean, the other one that we can kind of talk about here, which gets really interesting is Kallus, which was the leader that was spoiled today, has an ability that allows you to basically play a card for 1 additional cost, that allows you to ignore all aspect penalties. So you're going to see splashes of, you might see Luke. Like the dead series, you might see Luke in like a Kallus deck as like a late drop or but I don't know if this is actually viable, but things like this, where if there's like a really strong, heroic drop that you might want to put with this, with Kallus, it makes a lot of things really interesting. And so again, viability across multiple, versions of decks is what's going to drive that cost. Also, Anakin Stonks, baby. Champion of Mortis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which one of these guild do you think is going to be the most valuable?
Well, That's a good question. I think so far out of the legendaries we've talked about, if it works out that Chewie survives, if the rules make it so that he survives those hits, he's gonna be the most valuable, most immediately valuable, because he's a rebel.
Yes.
So like, which
you rebels think are about feasting
all the,
this
all the rebel oh synergies God. With some of the other yep. cards we haven't even talked about. We haven't even gone through all the cards that were spoiled, but there are cards out there that just makes rebels so far so good. Mm-hmm. If he can survive all that, then he just becomes a machine. He's just like, he's your removal at that point. You know what I mean? And he's only a 4 cost, so he comes out early enough in the game. And even with credits, you might even get him a turn early, which would be really good, or a couple turns early, which would be really good. I think he'll be the most valuable. And also, his color combination is blue, green, white. Mm. Like, that's all right. That's good right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's still good right now. And it's so I think he's going to be like a $20 card for sure. Normal version.
Yeah. Because he's going to be in any heroic deck that is playing that color combination. Is my
why wouldn't you?
Yep,
you know what I mean.
No reason. Yeah,
yeah. Like when you talk about like you know when we're he's going to be the best in slot at a 4-drop, in blue green heroic.
He's eating all the 2/4s that came out with Secrets of Power and Legends of the Forest. He's eating all of those cards,
healing up and then getting more HP and attack.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's just really good. What do you think? Do you agree, or do you think it'd be one of the others going to be this point?
That's
anyway,
like that, because it's going to come out so much earlier than the other ones. Just like with Amidala coming out at 5, this is coming out at 4. It's just getting these to get played. You're not going to have to wait around to try to get these other cards played. And because of that, I think it's also going to have a lot more value.
Yeah, it's why Karas Nemec was $20 at one point. You know, partially it was because the deck that he was in won, but like also it just you talk about best in slot and it comes out early and it's not like a one of or two of. It's like you're gonna have three of them in every deck that plays red, right? In this case, you're gonna have three Chewies in every deck that plays blue green.
Which, by the way, Karas Nemec is still he's a rare. He's $7, $8.
He's 10 for his regular version. The 7 is, I was actually looking at this just before. 7 is the foil version.
Oh, it's the foil version? Yeah.
Yeah.
$10 for regular. That's crazy. All right, cool. So let's, anything else before we move on?
No, that's, we've got a lot of spoilers.
Want to talk about that rabbit just real quick, because man, is that thing really good.
We're going to wait until the last segment. Boom. Okay.
Let's do it.
We'll talk about the rabbit. All right. Because the future is bright.
Hint
of what we're talking about in 20 more minutes. Okay, so Rob, what do you got for us for meta?
For meta? Okay, so we had a sector. This, or not a sector. It was a sector? No, it was a region. No, it was a sector. It was a sector. I'm going crazy. Yeah, it was a sector this weekend. Oh my God.
You okay?
No, just long day at work. So we had a sector this weekend. This was overseas. This is in Tilburg.
Bad weather too, and people showed out. So
yeah, it was a lot of people. 477 players came out for this. We also had a couple of PQs over the weekend here in the US and overseas as well. Specifically, we also had a limited event that Gil, I know you were at this past weekend. But let's start with the kind of highlights here. And so, you know, right off the bat, the sector out in Tilburg was taken down by Han to ECL. If you haven't played against this deck or you haven't seen this deck, it's very, very, very fast. It can pump out. You're on your back foot by, if you don't have solutions on board by turn 4, you're dead. It will kill you that quick. And it's very interesting to look at how this meta, the top 8 specifically, shaped up. It was almost literally half. Well, no, it was exactly. It was exactly half aggro and exactly half hard control. We had one Palp Colossus, 2 Yoda Data Vault, 1 Kylo Data Vault, 3 Han 2 ECLs, and Sabine ECL. So, like, you want to talk about the extremes of this? We had the very hard control and the very, very fast aggro. No mid range to be seen in sight. And so it's really, really interesting to kind of see how the meta is starting to shape up. And that's going to hold true when you look at we'll talk about it a little bit further with the PQs, both domestically and overseas. We had some Palp Yellow, Palp Colossus PQ winners. We had some more Han 2 Green winners. We also had, what was it? There was a Cad Tarkin Town. We had one of our members take a, he didn't take a PQ, but he was a top five. Well, he's top five, I think, with Sabe Yellow. So there's a lot of aggro, and there's a lot of control right now. You know, kind of high level, what makes Han 2, and we've seen this previously, but what makes Han 2 so scary, and why I think we're seeing a lot of him, is that he asks you so many questions so early, and because he's cheating stuff out, if you don't have those answers ready to go, and you know, even like particularly against control, if you don't have the right answer at the right time to deal with whatever he throws at you, he's just throwing so much damage ahead of curve that it's really, really hard to keep up. And then whatever you potentially do throw out to deal with the things that he's put out that are damaged, he can now ECL in something to kind of take out that threat. You know, he's got Wrecker in there, he's got Amidala. There's just so many solutions in this deck. You know, it's hard to deal with.
I would agree with that. Han 2 ECL. You know, Han 2 has always been a really solid leader, regardless. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you know, Han 2 goes under your deck because like you're playing under curve, and a lot of these ramp decks only make him better. Yep. Like all these, like, you know, playing against like the Han 1s, playing against the Yodas, playing against the Palps, like you ramp, he's ramping a bigger unit 2 turns ahead of you now.
Yeah.
Which is like insane, you know, and you know, they're not weak legendaries. These are strong legendaries and rares from set 1, 2, 3, you know what I mean? And so he's definitely a bit on the rise. I think the biggest attack line against a Han 2 ECL specifically has, and even like the blue version to an extent, has always just been go hard into space.
Yeah. Well, like, that's why like I play Piet, and Piet's got a chance against this deck because, yeah, you do lose turn 2 where you ramp, but you're now in a position to drop something enormous that they just have no way to deal with in space. And if you get that Fulminatrix, now you can start to like chip away at the stuff that they have on the ground. And God forbid you pull the turbo laser salvo and you just wipe him off the board before he can kill you.
Yeah, I think. Even faster than that, like if you're going to go like not faster, but the like the Han 4 pilots probably do better here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sabe Yellow, I think, does well into this. ECL can do well. It's still a hard matchup, but it's winnable. Especially when you have things like Impropriety Among Thieves.
Yes. Love that spice.
You steal like their Poe for like a spy token, and then they have to do something because that, or else your Poe is doing 8 damage to their ECL base, which is insane. I think Han 2 ECL is definitely on the rise for at least a couple more weeks. It's not even difficult to pick up as a deck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's using the Sabine, you know, skeleton there. And so, like, Sabine's always been good until, you know, people just found a way around it. But now this is just going faster than Sabine because it's like you mentioned, you're getting stuff out quicker. And then when they ramp, you just drop, you know, Chem, and then you're right there with them and still dropping things bigger than them. So
let's just, for those who are relatively new, Chem is Syndulla. The father of Hera Syndulla.
You gotta say it with the French accent.
From Ryloth. I'm giving the full history. No, he is a single red unit, 4 cost from Twilight of the Republic, which is set 3. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna rotate out. And what he does is
he Twilight? I thought he might be JTL.
I thought he was Twilight. I could be wrong. Okay. What he does is that if your opponent has more resources than you, you then get to be able to, you play him and you get to put the top resource, the top card from your deck as a resource card. Mm-hmm. So he's ramping with you, but now like you play resupply, he has a unit that does 5 damage up front and has ramped at the same time. It's a killer. It's a killer line. You have to really play around that.
He is not rotating out, by the way.
He's not.
He's JTL, right?
He is JTL. Oh, okay, I thought he was. Well, you know what? Twilight Republic reminds me of like Clone Wars.
Of course, yeah, of course.
So my bad. My bad, guys.
It's I'm wrong. To clarify. Yeah. But it's a great card. It sucks when you ramp in so much and then you see it. You're like, oh. Because now they got a unit and they just caught up. It's like, oh.
Yeah. But to your point, Gil, I do think we will start to see a rise in Sabe Yellow. And I do want to shout out Smegatoni, who is the user on our server who has, I don't know if he's the first person to do this, but at least it's the first time I've seen it shown up in a high level placement for PQ, using Impropriety Amongst Thieves. This card is in a double yellow deck. I don't know why no one's thought to use this before, because it's a fantastic little piece of tech. You basically swap units with your opponent, and then you get to I think they both ready as well, and then you get to swing into their base, and then at the end of the turn they switch back. But oftentimes when you're playing this, because you're playing this at four on a double yellow card, it's going to be in a position where you're probably using it to win the game.
Yeah. You have to choose two ready units and swap.
Oh, that's what it is. Two ready units.
Yeah,
okay.
So, but it's still really, I mean, the equivalent card here is a Change of Heart from set one. Set one, it's a six cost that you just take another potion's, take an opponent's unit for like the turn. And then it's ready, and then you get to do whatever you want with it. I mean, you could take it if it's not ready as well, but like this is the best equivalent I could think of.
Yeah, but it's coming out two turns earlier, and like it's a very, very strong card. But the other thing that we can kind of talk about a little bit here is the event that you were at, Gil, and I just want to touch on this briefly because it is something that Fantasy Flight has said is going to be part of, you know, the Galactics going forward. And so I think it's important that we talk about a little bit, which is the limited event that happened up here upstate New York. And it was taken down by none other than Slymore Leader Yellow. Now, I didn't get, you know, they obviously don't post deck lists for a lot of these, but Gil, I know you were there. So I wanted to kind of just, you know, cede the floor to you and see if you could talk about this a little bit. I know you talked about this with us a little bit, where the strategy was kind of based off of their pool. They went wide and were trying to, you know, basically flood the board. But, you know, you may have a little bit more insight here in terms of how that started to happen.
Yeah. So limited for anyone who is this the first time we've ever heard about it. Or, you know, you're relatively new to that experience. The limited PQs are new for this set. Limited PQs have two different game modes, I'll say, that are played. What you do is you get six packs. You make a hip with in the beginning of the tournament before Swiss starts. You and an opponent and a person like open up packs, and then you kind of verify each other's cards. With those cards, you then can make a deck of 60. You make a deck of 30 cards. All the rest of the cards are your sideboard. But you have a main deck of 30, and you play Swiss rounds with those cards. What he did was one of the best leaders in the set right now is Leia. So he played, I think, Leia Red, I think, through Swiss rounds, made it. He actually defeated a bunch of people that were trying to make, you know, deep runs for their, like, let's say, for example, fourth PQ in a row, and stop that. But he made it. I think he went 4-0, and then he just decided to draw, so you get the points. So to get to the top, you need a certain level of match points. Those match points are determined by your win, loss, and tie record. Each win is 3 points. A tie is one. A loss is zero. So once you with six rounds, if you win four and tie two, no one's really ever going to beat you at that point. Like, it's really hard to like get to not be locked in for top eight.
Yeah.
But then once you get to top eight, the difference here is that now you're doing a draft, and now everyone has three packs, and you're drafting for your deck. And you have to sit here with eight other people and kind of card shark your way through the tournament or through that segment of the tournament. And so what he did was I'm not necessarily in his head, but he is a McClunky Gaming team member, a relatively new addition, And he has won a PQ before with an off-meter deck. I think it was Fennec Shand, like Target Town or something, back when Fennec Shand was first came out. And so he's a good player. He saw that other people were like trying to make their Jabbas, the Leias and stuff work, right? Like the blue greens, like the typical things you would expect. So he decided to go, he gambled essentially. He was like high risk, high reward, Slymore. I'm going to go low and wide. I'm going to go really aggro-y and swarmy. And it really worked out for him. He had 10 turn one plays, right? Which is really good for him. He had 8 turn two plays. He had a bunch of four drops. And then, you know, he didn't really have a lot of top end. Like he had no like, and it was, he didn't have like any big, like big units past six cost. He had like 1 6 cost in his entire deck. Right, it was the Republic Warwalker, and he was playing Slymore Red and was going around doing that. So, you know, it just because Slymore is not like what was quote unquote the best, right, out in limited or just in this format, like you can dig a win as long as you're not so stuck in a specific mindset. I mean, that's what it means to me.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You want to make sure you're kind of like the draft specifically, you want to try to draft to your strengths and the other players' weaknesses, right? And like you said, he's seeing the control decks and the more meta in the limited side of things coming out, and how do you combat that? Like go wide, go fast, and that worked mm-hmm. out pretty well. And Slymore I like a lot. I think it's a interesting character, interesting leader.
Yeah, and it's the other thing that is, I think, Gil, that you, I think you were implying, but I'll say it, you know, explicitly, is that I think what he was doing also was looking at the table and seeing, because the way that drafts work, the first thing you do is everybody drafts three leaders. So you crack open your packs, you just take out the leader, you get to pick one from the three that you crack, and then you pass. And then you're going to get passed a choice of two, and then you're just going to get past one leader, right? So, you know, you look at the table and you see, okay, well, people to my left and right, they both took, you know, Leia or Jabba, right? You know, I'm going to try and sit in that, you know, what leaders do I have? I'm going to try and sit in that niche where I'm going to just going to get past all the bomb cards in that color because no one's taken them. And then now I have a really big pool of cards of those colors to build off of. I have many more options, whereas if I'm trying to build in the colors that are to my left and to my right, or even like at other places at the table, I'm not going to be getting as many of those, and I might not have as strong of a deck because of that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that you have to be situationally aware. And honestly, like, I think one thing that I think some people do, like, they do this, you know, hate pick. Like, they start, mm-hmm. they try to stop other people from getting cards that they need.
Hate draft.
I hate draft. I think for me, I don't know how successful that is. It's like you're playing not to lose instead of playing to win. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how effective of a strategy that is. I don't think he did that either, because his deck is pretty built. Like, he was getting all, I think he got all the cards he actually wanted, like,
yep.
that he needed. Like, he got Beguile.
God, that card is so
Soulless
good.
Soulless One. Like, he got Wrong Ride, he got two Contempt for Cultures as, like, pseudo-removal with, like, doing two damage and creating Spy Token, right? Like, he was, you know, he had Screeching Tie, A-Wing, Clan Ordo. Like, he had some good cards in his pool that he was able to draft. And I'm like, you gotta focus on that first. Like, you gotta build your deck first before you start hate-picking, because it's not worth it. I think one something that's really spicy was that he had an off aspect corporate warmonger card. Gave a friendly unit, I think it's like +3/+3 for the phase, and each other friendly unit +1/+1, which for a Slymore like token deck is for six, huge. You have a huge mm-hmm. board, and all of a sudden you make all these tokens 1/3s, so they're doing 3/3s. They're like 3/3s essentially, which is crazy. Such a good card.
So, you know, the sort of moral of the story here is that, you know, limited and draft both, you know, they're both part of the, they are sealed, and it really makes you think about the game very differently. And personally, I'm terrible at it. Honestly, Corey, you're a heck of a lot better at it than I am. But, you know, but you also have to look at like there, you have to practice this. You really do. You know, because there is, it's about mastery of the specific set because you're only dealing with a single set at a time. So really understanding a set inside and out, all the different avenues, the things that you're going to have to specifically counter in this set versus, hey, in a premier format, you're going to see only best in slot cards from all the sets that are available. So you're not going to see this corner case stuff, but now in a single set you are, and knowing what those things that you have to deal with in that format versus a premier format really forces you to kind of bend your brain around it.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Before we move on to the next segment, any last minute, any words, last minute things for the meta? Talk about Bina.
I think we beat this one up to death. There was a lot that happened this week, and you know there are going to be things to think about in the new rotation going forward. But I think for right now we're seeing some very interesting week to week changes in high level play, and I think that's going to be, you know, again, we saw a lot of control in aggro this week. Are we going to see some reactions to that coming up next week? It feels like that's how this has been going, and I'll be curious to see how it evolves in the next weeks.
Yeah, cool. All right, so moving on to the last part of the show, we wanted to talk about. It's a broad topic because I really want to talk more about set seven, but at the end of the day, I think and we've kind of said this in form of some form or fashion in the past, but like I think the future of SWU for this year is actually pretty bright. I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, I've seen some videos out there, like clickbait stuff. That's, yes, yeah, the clickbait stuff, even recently, within, like, the last, like, couple of weeks. It's like, oh, SWU is not going to last, and Star Wars Limited is not going to last another year, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, who are you? Well, first of all, that's patently not true because they have product lined up until at least the end of this year. Like, you know what I mean? So, if they decide to end it at that point, that seems a little weird to me, but that's fine, I guess. But also, like, I will say that, you know, something with the new stuff that's come out, that's just come out, right? Where we got, you know, the releases of the new cards. I, from what I'm experiencing within, like, the digital community and just community in general, it's been relatively positively accepted. Like, the reception has been pretty positive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the addition of multi-aspect cards is exciting for people, and the deck building is going to be a lot more brain-burny and can be exciting for people. And the fact that we're getting rotation is exciting for people because now you're going to have to rethink all of your decks, and a lot of the staple cards that you know and love may not be there for you anymore. And so what is that going to do, and how's that going to shake things up? That's exciting. Like, the unknown of what these new decks will look like going forward is, to me, really exciting. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think we're seeing probably the first power level spike equivalent to Spark of Rebellion in a set. This is the first set that's going to be, I think, on par with this. And it kind of makes sense, right? Like, they're rotating out Spark, and now we need something to kind of fill the vacuum. But to your point, Corey, you know, some things are rotating out, but I do think we're going to see some things that do come back. I actually just talked about this just before we started recording on the Discord, but, I didn't get a chance to listen to the cast today from FFG live, but I did listen to it on my way home. And one of the things that they said that I found was interesting is they were talking about how they're cleaning up, you know, rules, wording, and, you know, making some, you know, condensing some mechanics and things like that. But one of the things that they talked about was they're now turning resourcing into a verb. So now it's, you know, you're going to, instead of saying turn this card into a resource, you're just going to say resource this card. And one of the things that they said in regards to this was that it really condensed and cleaned up the wording on resupply, which, Gil, I know you hate to hear this, but I think we're getting a resupply reprint.
Oh, I don't think I hate it. I just think that, like, you know, it's there's a lot of complaints about it as a card, just in general. And I don't think you're making it. The game could be healthier without it. Because there's equivalent ramping for both sides of the aisle in terms of villainy and heroism. So you have right now anyway, they're both going to go away, and then like the access to it is going to be either in red, like the single aspect stuff, so red, green with the resupply, or Champs and Doula, for example. Like, I just feel like there's if they bring it back, I mean, I'm personally not necessarily a fan of it. I just don't think that it's fun to go against because you're like, all right, let me help you control more. I just don't like that style. Like, no, that's a personal preference, I think.
Yeah, with the tokens, you don't necessarily need that, but I do think it's gonna be something that's coming back. It's fun, not necessarily maybe in its form that it is now, because they did say last week they released a hints of a Lawless Time, and they do mention a whole bunch of things, and they give you like some trivia and some like little facts about this set. One of the things they say is that some of the staples in Spark of Rebellion will return with a twist. So there are two new variants of remove all units cards that are coming, and as well as cards that will accelerate your resource generation permanently. So maybe Super Laser Tag resupply get a new look. We'll see.
Well, so you say resource generation permanently. So what to me, that's a credit machine. That's like a mechanic where like the like you have like this thing that's maybe attached to your base or an upgrade attached to a unit, and if, as long as you keep that unit alive, it's generating a credit token. Yeah.
Well, it could be like the new resupply, right? Resupply your credits, so it's like it comes back, but a new look, right? So
yeah. Well, because the thing with resupply though is, and let me just make clear here, is that resupply is permanent and it helps you with getting to your leader flip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus credits, which don't do that. So if there's a resupply in a sense where you're just getting credits, that is very different than me being able to bring out Kylo Ren leader like one turn early.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's to me like the key difference. Like, yeah. I don't mind credits. Like, that's cool, because that way I'm like, oh, you're fine. You play something big, I don't play something big, but like, leaders aren't flipped yet. Can you imagine Eivor coming out in like turn three? How broken, how crazy that would be.
But you know, I think the key word that Corey hit on there is that it's two new permanent ways to ramp, to generate resources. So the permanent being the key word there, I do think we're going to get, even if it's not resupply, like resupply may not come until icons, right? Like, you know, but it sounds like they're like talking about it, but you know, maybe we're going to get, you know, something that's resupply-esque that's still a permanent add to the resources. You know, maybe more conditional. It may not just be like, I do it and it just happens, but I think we're gonna see something along those lines.
Yeah, well, it could also be, again, because one of the things that they're doing with bases, for example, is they're making bases do different things now, like the Sarlacc pit, right? Like, a permanent way to generate resources is you have literally a slot machine attached to your rebel base that they can't do any. They can't remove that slot machine, and every turn it's going to generate one. Right, and if you do, but it's going to obviously, I think, it has to be expensive. Like, it can't just be like a one cost for like a one token. You just keep getting over and over
full
and over again.
Sabacc.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or like Sabacc. Like, can you imagine like having a Sabacc table attached to your base or your leader? So like your leader, that's just like it gives your leader like an additional like. How cool would this be if, like, you had the like a Lando Calrissian leader, like the young Lando, because he's gonna be a leader, and he has the Sabacc table, and if you attach it to that leader, instead of using your regular action ability, you can use a credit action ability, so you can generate credits with your Sabacc table every like turn. You know what I mean?
No,
it's like that's permanent, quote permanent, but it's not ramp. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't break my hopes with ramp, please. I don't want to hear my reason.
We got time. We got time to speculate. There's different ways for sure.
But in all seriousness, though, like you want to talk about bright and shiny, man. I mean, like I'm all in on this. I actually just ordered my set of AT-AT and credits today, just before the cast. So I like, this is going to be something that I think is going to be. It's going to change the way that the game is played, because look, temporary resources, while yes, they don't help your leader flip, ramping out stuff ahead of curve and finding a way to be consistent with your credit generation. If you can find a way to make that work and you're able to be constantly, even if you're only cheating out, you know, a turn early with a single credit, getting, we all know with like with Han, right? Getting something out, you know, a turn early is pretty powerful. So, you know, and if you're able to do that consistently, you're going to have a good time.
And another interesting thing that they were mentioning in this article is that there is a pair of characters that have been much requested on social media, and they're finally getting their first unit cards this set.
Like, who haven't we seen? Like, who haven't we seen that would be requested?
A pair
of characters that have been much requested on social media finally get their first unit cards is the exact.
I guess the question is, a pair is in like, two, they belong together, or it's like, yeah, one person, I think it like, means they're that two separate. Yeah.
Right.
This is like a Han and Chewie situation, but like, I'm trying to think who it would be.
You know, that's interesting because, yeah, it's kind of like, it gets your mind thinking a little bit. The other thing is they said that in this cycle, there's six common units with two non-hero and villain aspects and two different keywords, one of each aspect. What keywords do you think are paired together on each card?
I don't know what that means.
there was a lot of words there, and my brain did not.
There are six common units with two non-hero villain aspects. So it's like cunning, aggression.
Be, okay, so they're going to be like
command,
yeah,
it's vigilance, yeah, right? But no hero, no villain.
We saw one today, actually. Yeah. It's the rabbit.
So there's like there. All right, exactly.
Let's talk about this rabbit that you mentioned 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, 40 minutes ago. This thing is actually pretty good. So first of all, it's blue green. It's just blue green, which is a very commonly played color combination. So this is the Leppy Lookout. It's a 2-cost, 3/1 shielded Overwhelm, and my heart is saddened that Gar is rotating out, because that would have made this thing a 4/1 with Overwhelm on turn one. But still, a 3/1 with Overwhelm on turn one that is shielded is pretty nuts. So you are very more than likely trading for something, probably doing like one damage to a base, and then it's still there to potentially, like, you know, deal damage back, or you don't even necessarily have to attack base. You can have your opponent attack into you. You go to base, and then you now get to like overwhelm on the second run of that. Like, it's just there's so many possibilities with this, and it's in a good color combination. And this thing, it's only a common, right? Yeah, it's only a common.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty good.
So, real random thing about the rabbit race is both in Legends and in canon, and they're from the planet Coachella. So, like, it makes me laugh because I think Coachella.
Coachella,
it just,
yeah,
seems so, like, on point for that. They are, yeah, they're called Leppies. Like, that's, like, their race. Just, that's why I'm, because I don't know if anyone's familiar with all the races in Star Wars just in general, and I'm happy that they're actually like expanding on the races now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like all humans, like, which makes sense for the age of the Empire, because they were very xenophobic. Like, the Empire, like, Thrawn was like one of the only, like, anyway, I'm nerding out. But yeah, that card is like really good. Like, I'm a fan of the Leppy card. I think.
Yeah. No, I think this card is actually really good. I think you're going to see this in this is going to be one of those like commons that the hyperspace is probably $1. Because I think you're going to see this a lot, and people are going to want the art on it's actually pretty good too. It's got, I imagine this hyperspace is
cute little bunnies. Bunnies always nice. So,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a 3/1. It's a 3/1 with shield overwhelm, and then you just upgrade it next turn. Like, it could go into like a Llama Sue deck.
Yeah.
Right. And you could give her, I actually don't know, but like, you can give it like an upgrade turn two, and it's just gonna be bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's so much play with this thing. I think it's really cool. If this is what we have to look forward to, because, like, mind you, this is one of the, we haven't really gotten a lot of commons necessarily. We've seen a lot of rares, we've seen some uncommons, but we haven't really seen a lot of commons. And I think if this is going to be sort of the floor on some of these things, because again, when you talk about like commons, rares, uncommons, like, the in terms of what FFG kind of looks at for these, they talk about complexity, right? But if this is the floor for like the power level of the commons, or somewhere near here, I think we're, like I said, I think we've got probably the most powerful set since Spark, and that's going to be really, really interesting. But it's different, yeah, and I think that's what's
really cool
about
it. The most expensive common that they've ever printed is also coming out in this set. So
it has to be bigger than 11, because 11 was the rebel ship that, or it was not rebel, Republic ship that was the 11-11 for 11. It's going to be like a 12 cost common. Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Another interesting thing that I thought was cool and real quickly is there are some abilities that are on the cards. One of them is an additional regroup phase.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out how that's going to work.
You pay for it.
Well, yeah, but what do you, because like in regroup, what do? You re-ready your resources, like, but there's not really actionable stuff in there, right? Like, am I like misremembering this?
I don't know. It could depend on like leader abilities.
Yep.
For example,
okay, that's true.
Like if it's, you know what I mean? If you're doing additional regroup phase, that means you get to ready your leader again. Or do something. I don't know. Like there's a lot of different possibilities that I think.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, I guess it's like
when does it happen? Also, is it happened immediately before, after? Like that's a question.
Right. So it's like if you're able to do a couple things and you play that card, it lets you re-ready your resources and effectively gives you a second turn. Okay, that could be pretty nuts.
Yeah. Like, doesn't regroup get to grab more cards? Right.
Yeah.
So like you're now a turn ahead with cards in hand. Like, why would that not be a bad thing? You know, like that's a permanent resupply. Because
oh yeah, that's true. That's
down.
True because you resource.
You know what I mean?
You resource during regroup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you do. You
yeah,
get an extra resource.
There it is. You know, there it is. You're not getting resupply, but you're getting an extra regroup phase, which puts another card down. Yeah. Problem solved. Solution.
That's both card. That's actually really interesting because then that's both card advantage because you're getting an additional card and an additional resource.
Yeah.
So like you could
it can't
ramp,
be cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to be pretty expensive. That's pretty bonkers. Now that we're kind of talking it out.
Yeah. Okay. Before I go, any last minute thoughts for the folks out there?
No, I'm excited. This new set looks real good. I think there's a lot to be excited about with this rotation that's coming, and we still have some sectors that I know Gil, you're going to be going to, right? Arizona.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure we wish him luck over there. Do us proud.
And I think you two are going.
And then we
got
Milwaukee
regional,
in a couple.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Next month.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited to 0-2.
Oh no! You gotta believe.
I'm trying really hard not to swap decks all of a sudden because
Don't do it. You want to go to ECL now?
So
like, get younger and go faster.
I want the younger version of Han now. I want to play it.
You're like Hollywood. You just want to keep getting younger and younger.
Oh no, that's terrible. I'm happy with my ripe old age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe I'm 50 years old?
Oh my
god, that's crazy, guys!
Right?
Nuts. All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time today. Everyone else out there, appreciate you. Until next time. Yeah.